Thanks for listening to Shift Your Spirits. I'm Slade Robertson. For 12 years, I've been a professional intuitive and personal development blogger. I try to talk about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It is Saturday, October 20th, 2018, as I record this introduction. I'm sharing a last-minute episode about some of my adventures in New Orleans last week. It wasn't on the schedule, and I hadn't planned to record it, but I had some experiences I feel you guys can really appreciate. There are some cool themes that revealed themselves around manifesting, synchronicity, serendipity, and practicing the art of surrender. As always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show. My dear friend Jeff, who has an amazing tarot and oracle deck collection, sent me a Just Because surprise in the mail this week, and it was the Game of Thrones tarot deck. I haven't even shuffled the cards yet, and I thought it would be fun to pull the first card here for all of us as this week's oracle segment. So be thinking about a question or a concern you have, hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. In personal news, honestly, this whole episode is kind of personal news, so I'll keep it brief. I do want to say a thank you to my friend Rob for inviting me on this trip and for all the organization and planning he did that allowed me to just jump in and ride shotgun on a really fantastic little vacation, and to Kiki for inviting me along as part of her birthday entourage. I gave a reading to a client about 2 months ago, maybe, regarding an upcoming family trip of a lifetime that she was planning and how much anxiety it generated for her. And I'm glad we did the reading before she went. I know from her feedback when she got home that the reading allowed her to be in the moment and enjoy the experience as opposed to just project managing the whole thing to death. And I'm an anxious person by nature. That makes me want to plan and control everything. But I've observed with my own vacations in particular, overscheduling is the biggest joy killer. I think the best thing you can do is pick one thing per day to be the focus goal or focus destination or focus event, and let all the other things around that be fluid and incidental. Once you know you're going on that tour at 11 a.m. or whatever it is, let finding breakfast along the way be a little random. Stop into a shop that catches your eye. Then you have lunch or dinner or a late afternoon cafe for a pick-me-up. All those little meals and bathroom breaks are mini destinations with so many paths and opportunities. You can fill up a day with more wonder that way rather than planning, say, 9 a.m., cool breakfast spot I found on the internet, Uber at 10:15 a.m. sharp, potty breaks at 10:45 at destination before tour begins, etc. You know, that's kind of an ugh. You're setting yourself up for failure if you do that, and probably driving everyone else nuts and also ruining it for yourself. So if you're preparing for a trip right now, remember, plan that one big event or destination per day. Choose everything else in the moment and let that rest of it happen. I do think an argument could be made for one morning event and then one evening event with incidental adventures all in between. That's very likely to work for most adult vacations. I mean, you have to nap before the cocktails and the clubbing portion of the day happens. Before I forget, I want to mention that the Shift Your Spirits community on Facebook now has 482 members. Thank you to the moderators for holding this space for everybody and to everyone who is contributing in there. It has truly taken on a life of its own with some surprising content developments. One of the things I really like seeing is when someone has been in the group for maybe a week or so and reading and commenting, and then they decide to do sort of an introductory post with a picture of themselves and tell everyone who they are and what they're up to and what they hope to get out of the group. It's not something that we ask people to do, but a lot of people have spontaneously done that, and it's really cool to see all the faces and realize the diversity of where everyone is around the world, and you know, just all the cool mix of people that are in there that are brought together by, you know, this common interest. A lot of people now in the group are running their own topical threads. We've tried to space it out across the days of the week to just sort of keep all the parts of the week equally interesting. But in case you haven't been in there yet, or you, you know, signed up, but you haven't checked back in or whatever, just so you know kind of what's going on in there. So far we have on Mondays, a dream analysis thread that's going on for those of you who have really cool dreams and want to share them and talk about them and interpret one another's dreams. Just Monday is your day to really go into all of that. And you can come along later and post and comment whenever you see these daily themes. It's just that we're trying to create spaces where we post them, so there's not like a log jam of a lot of stuff getting posted and some of it being invisible because there's too much on, you know, one end of the week or something. But so on Tuesdays, that's when this show goes out into the podcast feed. So on Tuesdays, I always do a post about this most recent episode and invite you to ask questions or comment on the show or engage with the interview guest if we have someone on the show. On Wednesdays, we've got a conversation going on about shamanism. Thursdays, there's a cool thread about crystals. Friday, we do the promo day, which is where, you know, if you have something online that you'd like to share, your blog, your newsletter, your business, the books you've got on Amazon, whatever it might be, to keep the group from becoming sort of a cluttered message board, we do that one promo thread on Fridays, and you'll see like an image of Chinese lanterns and an invitation to post your link. So everybody gets a link every week. So you can do a different one every week, or you can, you know, if you've got like your main website, you want to just remind everybody each week to come check you out. That's the place to do it. It keeps it all in one spot, and it also lets us know where we can go to look for cool offers from other people in the group. A lot of people have, you know, free gifts that they give away as downloads to subscribers and, you know, webinars that they might be doing, whatever is going on. So that's the place for that. And in conjunction with that, on Fridays, we've now got a couple of women who are starting up a conversation about spirituality in business. And all manner of topics related to that. On Saturday is tarot and oracle cards. All things cards will be discussed on that day. And on Sunday, we've got some healing practitioners, healing arts folks who are powwowing in the background and getting ready to start posting some stuff about healing modalities. All of these things have so many different directions that they could go in, and they're just really big umbrella canopies for putting a whole lot of stuff underneath. There aren't really hard and fast boundaries. This is a really loose organization that's kind of popped up. You know, please chime in. Or ask the person you see leading a topic that you're really interested in if you want to participate or you want to help them in some way and be one of the people who says, hey, I'd like to post something next week, you know, some kind of foundational topic or fundamental aspect of that topic. A lot of people are approaching this as kind of learning crystals, you know, learning to work with tarot. They're really sharing a lot of themselves and teaching and creating this fantastic content. that I don't have the expertise to necessarily create. And so a lot of generosity with sharing. So if you're wanting to learn some of these things, this group is turning out to be a great place to start with a lot of these topics. We want to have groups of people sharing their wisdom and knowledge. And when I say groups, I mean, you know, little clusters of people. It's not one person telling everybody else, you know, what to do and what to think. We do want it to be a conversation. So feel free to chime in and also ask if you can participate more if you'd like to. It's not me that's doing it. It really is, you know, different people in the group who are just members in the group, and they're wanting to contribute and lead conversations that interest them. So you don't need my permission to do it. Just talk to them, talk amongst yourselves, figure it out. There are no set rules yet. As long as they don't violate the overall group rules, then, you know, anything goes. Try things out, experiment. If you have an idea for a topic you'd like to write about on an ongoing basis that you don't see represented, there are tons of them, post your pitch in the group and see if there's interest. That's how many of these threads have started and evolved, is just someone posting and saying, hey, would anybody be interested in, you know, hearing some fundamentals about working with cards? And a bunch of people chimed in and said yes. I or one of the moderators can suggest a good day for you to do those posts on if you'd like to know when a good time to do it would be. That is one thing we're offering a little bit of guidance around. So there's really no wrong way to do it. You know, if you contacted me and said, hey, I want to do a group thread about, you know, this certain topic, and it would be really cool if I could do it on Sunday nights in the Pacific time zone, I'd be like, awesome. The reason I do this with the regular recurring day thing is because I've been doing content marketing online for 15 years, and the regularity of having a certain day, this is the reason why your TV shows and radio programs come on at a certain day at time. It helps audience engagement, just bottom line. It helps people anticipate and locate and interact with the content that they're excited about. It helps you grow your audience. And it's a great writing publishing exercise for those of you who might be testing the waters with putting your own ideas online and, you know, starting your own side hustle or your own business. Think of it as like blogging within the group with lots of collaboration. It's a great incubator space. So share your ideas in there. I'm really proud to see what a cool online community you guys are creating. It's got my dear leader picture on top of it, but the heart is all you. So thank you. I also want to say a quick thank you to my newest supporters on Patreon, M, Jackie Pacheco, Kim Robb, and Jason Chen, who actually raised his pledge. I also want to say thank you to all of you who continue to support on Patreon. I'm trying to go all in on creating this audio content. I'd like to grow a staff that will allow us to do some cool things production-wise. I'd like to create more exclusive specialty courses for the Patreon supporters. Your pledge demonstrates that you're enjoying the show and you want it to continue and you want this to grow and evolve. So thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, exclusive bonus episodes. There's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing this show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. I'm not sure if I ended up titling this show Writing Shotgun, Reading Shotgun, or if I decided to call it The Passenger. That was the title that came to me when the experience was happening to me, which makes me think, of course, of the Susie and the Banshees cover of The Passenger, which is an Iggy Pop song. And that would be really cool if I could have that as theme music, but I don't even know how to license a song like that, and I'm not sure that I could afford it or that I could do it the day after I get back from my trip. So I just came back from a trip to New Orleans, and I wasn't planning to do this episode, but I wanted to kind of slip it in There's a lot of people I want to tell these stories to, so it's easiest just to make it into an episode. My mom watches psychic TV shows, you know, like The Long Island Medium. I can't think of the names of any of them because I don't watch them. I want to spend my free time, you know, watching shows that don't remind me of work. So I talk about and think about readings all day long. So at night, I'm kind of not in, that's not a fantasy to me. But her favorite is a current show where the guy drives people around in a taxi, I think, and reads them. So he's her favorite, and I can't think of what his name is right now. Tyler something, maybe. It's not that I hate these shows or that I think they're lowbrow or anything like that. I think they're fascinating. I just need to watch other things in my downtime. But she talks about them a little bit. She likes to tell me stories about them. So I have it in my head that this is her favorite show, and that may be one of the reasons why this kind of concept happened to me. But so after being in New Orleans for 4 days, I now have this sort of pretend fantasy TV show where I travel around and read Uber drivers. It only happens if I go somewhere that I can take multiple Ubers and Lyfts per day over a period of a few days. It's like, you know, if I just do it a one-off here in town for some reason, it's less likely to happen than if I'm in this mode where I'm just constantly in and out of cars with strangers. And, you know, I talk to strangers for a living every day. So I don't have any kind of hangups about it. If anything, I'm one of those nerdy people who rides up front with the Uber driver, even when I'm the only person getting a ride. I didn't know that people didn't do that. And I thought it was supposed to be like, oh, my friend's picking me up, you know, and taking me on a ride. And it felt weird to me to sit in the car like I'm, you know, Lord Grantham or something. So I often sit up front with Uber drivers. I've always done that. And so when you have a group of people who are getting in a car and there's three or four of you or six or whatever, most people go for the back of the car. And I often end up sitting shotgun. And I'm fine with that. I don't really mind that at all. So it just so happens that pretty much every car that we got in this weekend, I was sitting in the passenger seat, the shotgun seat. And if I sat behind the driver, for instance, definitely dampened the phenomenon for some reason. And I think we've talked before, you know, the episode, The Lantern Bearer, where I talk about how if you're one of these people, some people call us light workers. I use the term lantern bearer. We're often introverts. That's the irony. We live on the edge of town, so to speak, and we don't like to be in the thick of it. We like to be out near nature, both philosophically, metaphorically, and physically. And the hermit tarot, the hermit archetype, is the lantern bearer. And the purpose of that soul is to guide people back to the light, back to civilization, people who are lost. And so if you're one of these people that has this archetype in your life, you notice that complete strangers tell you their life story. It just happens everywhere, and your friends probably comment on it. It seems normal to you because it happens so much that you might not even realize that it doesn't happen to everyone. It is something that only happens to us, and you know who you are if you are one of these people. So obviously, you put a lantern bearer in a Lyft or an Uber next to the driver, they're going to get a therapy session out of it. So the only problem with this concept of me having a TV show, which is a pretend concept, don't like push this on me. Cameras make me totally freeze up and be weird and leave my body. And the other problem with traveling a lot is I don't sleep when I travel. You've heard me talk about this before. So I'm not sure if leaving my body and being sleep deprived helps or hurts psychic ability. I think it actually works for a short period of time, like maybe for 2 days. It actually thins the veil a little bit. It drops your inhibitions, makes you more in the flow, less likely to overthink things. But after a couple of days, you start to become completely ungrounded, and that doesn't help your psychic ability at all. Whatever the case, the veil was definitely really thin for me this weekend in New Orleans, Louisiana. And it is a place where I think the veil is thin. They have a completely different attitude towards the dead there than we do pretty much in the rest of the United States of America. It's a unique place. It always feels to me like I'm not quite in the United States when I'm in New Orleans. And no other place makes me feel that way except maybe Miami, South Florida. It kind of feels like you're in a different country too. I haven't been to Southern California, so I don't know if maybe these border regions somehow feel that way, but I think Louisiana is unique, and for so many reasons I won't even go into it. But the point of this trip, and I have been to Louisiana many times when I was in college, but I literally have not been there in 30 years. So the catalyst for the trip is our friend Kiki wanted to have her 50th birthday party, and she has tons of friends from California. She's now based in Atlanta, so she has a whole family of people around that area. She's got friends all over the world, and she couldn't get everybody to come to Atlanta. It's not quite glamorous enough to come all the way to Atlanta from California to do a birthday party, but everyone was totally down to travel and do a destination birthday party for Kiki in New Orleans. I was amazed. It's a testament to who she is in the world. But, you know, like 50 people came from all over the world. Atlanta, San Francisco, Paris, Kuwait, Kuwait City, to be specific. We had multiple Airbnbs all over the Ferret neighborhood. There were a few people in hotels. We were kind of spread between the Garden District and Tulane, kind of in the uptown area that's west of the quarter. Very nice, lots of pretty houses. Kiki stayed in quote unquote the mansion, which was the biggest party house. I and my friends, Rob and Jake, stayed in what we call the quiet house, which was a nice little shotgun infrared right around the corner from all the shops and restaurants and stuff. Very, very cool place. Like, I really kind of feel like this vacation was infrared, that neighborhood specifically. That's where I spent most of my time. This was not really a French Quarter type of trip, even though there was plenty of like drinking and food and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so 50 people came from all over to go to her 50th birthday party. I know Kiki very tangentially. I was one of the newest quote unquote kind of members of her friend group, but I was really close to her wife, Rhea, who passed away a handful of years ago, quite suddenly and quite young. And I had always heard about Rhea's wife from all the people that were still living in Atlanta that knew her. And over the years, some of my Atlanta friends have become really, really close to Kiki specifically. And so she's one of those people that like everyone I know knows her. And every time her name comes up, people are like, you don't know each other? How is that possible? And I'm like, I don't know. There's a couple of those people, you know, that you feel like you could have met anytime within the last 20 years. And so it just so happened that a few months ago, I always stay with Rob and Jake when I'm in Atlanta. And they were in the process of having a big spreadsheet meeting around the planning of this trip. I mean, the attention that went into, you know, putting this person here and there and who's paid for this. And, you know, I mean, it was a big organizational event planning take over. And they did an amazing job. But I was there spending the night when she and Rob were getting together and going over some of their spreadsheets and having a planning meeting. And that was the first time that I ever met her. And, you know, it was like one of those things where, of course, I felt like I knew her forever. And so she invited me to come along. And I thought, what the hell? You know, and I think it's a really cool testament. My sort of toast to her privately for her birthday was, you know, it's really freaking cool to make these kinds of friendships, even at 50. And of course, you guys know I'll be turning 50 next year. So all of my friends are turning 50 before me and they're doing all this amazing stuff. And I'm just vicariously living through them. I don't even know if I'll have anything left for my 50th birthday. We will see. But I'm definitely getting to experience this milestone through all these other people, and it's really amazing. And so I was grateful Kiki invited me, and it worked out that Rob and Jake kind of had an extra bed in their house that was easy for me to kind of slip in and be included. And so I said yes, because I'm, you know, doing 50 new things before 50. And I actually haven't worked on my list to figure out what things I did on this trip that I could add to that list, but I feel like there were a bunch, right? So the only thing that happened, if you're listening to this, I'm recording on Wednesday, October 17th, 2018, about a week ago. Yes, a week ago was Hurricane Michael, which landed in the panhandle of Florida and went straight to Atlanta in a matter of hours. And so I was in Atlanta the night before we were going to leave when the hurricane came through. So it was amazing amounts of rain. And I was kind of thinking, you know, is this going to affect us? Are we literally going to drive through the hurricane to get there? And my friend Julia, Dr. Julia, you guys know her from the Shift Your Spirits group and the Automatic Intuition community. And she's listening right now. So cameo girl. Julia texted me the day before I was leaving, was like, I'm worried about you driving. You know, I'm watching all the hurricane stuff on TV and I'm really worried about it. And my response to her was, you know, I practice weather magic. I will be okay. And I worked some weather magic. I did. I was working it already for whenever there's a hurricane. I know this sounds kind of clinical, but I try to minimize death with the hurricanes. Like, that's one of my biggest goals, is to just keep the body count as low as possible. And there have been a few times we've had really, really bad hurricanes where there wasn't a loss of life, or there was relatively small loss of life. So I feel like that's something that we can magically, psychically, and physically impact for real. Is just, you know, most of the people who die during hurricanes, I heard, it was for trying to drive somewhere where they ended up, you know, getting flooded out and drowning in their car. Like, that's one of the number one ways I think that people get caught out and lose their life tragically. It's not even from, you know, getting picked up and hurled somewhere. But anyway, not to minimize the reality of what the people down there are picking through. But for the point of my story, my trip was not affected by it at all. We got up expecting it to be really gloomy, and it was already clear and not humid, and we were driving away from it in the opposite direction and behind where it had already been. So the weather was really unbelievable the whole way. And if you are from the South, even during Indian summer, which is what, you know, fall really is, it's just hot with trees dying. it's still so humid in most of the South. And New Orleans is one of those places where I've only ever even been to New Orleans in the winter. I can't even imagine what it's like in the summer. This was a time that I was a little bit like, ooh, I don't know what it's going to be like down there. But weirdly cool, unseasonably not humid weather for them and for us. So the trip down was great. Rob drove most of the way. We listened to First Wave, New Wave on Sirius, which is kind of like our high school, you know, music, college music, stuff we listened to when we were young and first friends and roommates. We've known each other for, you know, like 25 years, give or take. Yeah, we were having lots of fun just listening to music. And Jake was in the back ignoring us because, you know, I'm that like friend of the spouse who's been around forever. And so when we're together, we have all these stories and all these associations. And I always feel a little bit bad that Jake is probably like, oh God, you know, feels left out of the conversation or is just sick of the sheer volume of talking that we do. But he very wisely brought movies on an iPad and just ignored us for most of the time. But anyway, once we got down there, everywhere we went, strangers kept thanking me for bringing the weather with me. You know, like they were joking about it and being kind of cutesy. Little did they know, I was just accepting those compliments. Like I, for real, was responsible for it because I did work on it. So there was a lot of driving. There was a lot of riding shotgun for me personally. A lot of shotgun shacks too, but that's a whole other thing. But back to the Uber driver thing, right? So it became kind of a thing, like a joke. Don't let Slade sit next to the Uber driver or they will literally tell us their life story. Or let Slade sit next to the Uber driver and see if, you know, what happens if he asks a certain question. Or let's see if I sit next to the Uber driver and I don't say anything at all, does it still happen? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Like, all I have to do is sit in the passenger shotgun seat and Uber drivers just talk. And, you know, maybe they do that because that's their personality. But I was asking other people about it, and not every single one that we got did this. There were a couple times where I sat in the back with one other person and the driver literally like never spoke a single word. That happened a lot. We took a lot of rides. And so statistically, it was just that there seemed to be this pattern where it was about this imaginary show of mine, The Passenger, where I read people. And I did feel a little bit like I was meant to comment on the things that the people were telling me. I really don't like the kind of psychic that goes up to strangers and says, I have a message for you, and like reads them in the grocery store. Like, I know that makes good television, but I advise everyone I work with, please don't be that person in real life. It's obnoxious. Usually, if there's not a camera present and it's not something a producer asked you to do, it's probably something that you're doing for attention, and it's more about you than it is about the other person. There could be exceptions. I know I just got a hit. Somebody out there was listening and said, you know what, I do that and it's really important and it's about the other person, and that's cool. For me personally, it's just not my style socially, and I don't have to do it because people will come and they will request or they will identify themselves as wanting to be read in some way. And the thing about my readings is they're often very much conversational. Like, I don't give a lot of intimidating presence that I'm like sitting staring at a crystal ball or that I'm concentrating on anything otherworldly. It tends to come out of my mouth when I'm being hyper communicative. So most people, whether they're friends of mine or they're clients of mine, will experience me being kind of a manic speaker, talking really fast. You know, they probably feel like they can't get a word in edgewise and I'm in flow. But that's what it feels like when I read. It's like it's some kind of channeling, though I think of it as like, I call it divine dialoguing. It's like the verbal form of automatic writing. So one really shitty thing did happen on the trip right at the very beginning of the first day. The first morning we got up, it was amazingly cool outside, not humid. We hadn't figured out how to work the coffee pot. Rob is a Virgo, so he like had to figure out the whole setup for the house and the kitchen. We were like, we can just go walk to a cafe. He said, you know, you guys go to a cafe if you want to. We said, okay. So Jake and I left, like literally rolled out of bed, put on shoes, and walked to the little neighborhood around the corner to look for a cafe. And we were taking all these amazing pictures. If you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you saw a few of them. I had just got a new iPhone X 2 days before the trip. And at first I thought, ooh, do I want to buy a brand new phone right before I go on a trip that might be like drunken and all over the place? And then I thought, well, I had no battery left on my phone. It was ancient, and I wanted to be able to take pictures with the cooler camera, and I wanted the extra storage, and I wanted a battery life that would let me wander around the city without being worried about plugging my phone back in, because I needed to be able to text people and take Ubers and all that stuff. And I was like, no, I need a new phone before I go on the trip. So I bought the iPhone XS, the smaller one. I don't like ginormous phones. And I totally fell off the sidewalk. You know, the sidewalks in the streets in New Orleans are crappy because the ground's really soft, and it's like, even you know, if they lay down a sheet of concrete, over time it turns into like buckled tile is what it feels like a lot of times. So I was carrying coffee, caffeinated, taking pictures, looking at stuff on maps, walking with a phone in one hand, a cup in the other. Jake said, let's walk in the street. It's actually smoother. And so we stepped down off the curb, and I totally took a tumble and cracked my brand new phone. I turned my ankle, landed on both, caught myself with both hands, so my palms were kind of skin up. And when I got up and started testing myself, my first thought was like, oh God, please don't let me be injured where I can't work out. Like, that's like always my big thing. I'm so afraid of hurting myself at this age, because anything little, like you get when you're a kid, like you bruise your arm or you know, turn your ankle or something, you shake it off and it's gone in a few days. When you're 49, it lasts for months, you know, and it hurts and it doesn't heal fast. And I was just like, oh, please. So, I tested my ankle. It was fine. My palms were skint up, but my wrists were fine. I had blood down my shin where I really kind of skint up one knee, like some asphalt burn. And then my phone was cracked, but it was like actually the most hairline crack, and it didn't go through the protector film. It was actually the protector plastic over the glass that cracked, but you guys don't know that yet. In this moment, I'm bloodied. I've hurt at least three different parts of my body. I've been in New Orleans for 5 minutes, and I busted my new $1,100 phone. And oh my God, I was like so shaken by the whole thing and realizing like, okay, I'm really scattered and ungrounded right now. And I need to shake this off. I can't let it ruin my trip. So, you know, we were having such a good time, and, we had just gotten started, and I was like, no, this is the first day. I cannot spend this whole time here obsessing about whether or not I'm going to have my phone repaired or replaced. You know, that's not how I can spend my time here. And, you know, looking back on it, you might feel like, where were my angels and why weren't they protecting me? But I had this series of flat tires over the years that would always happen in my driveway. And I would wake up and I would find my tire flat in my driveway. But here's the thing. I never got a flat tire out on the road. I never got a flat tire driving. I only got a flat tire at home where it was safe and, you know, I could just get the tools out of the garage and, you know, change it. And so the flat tire in the driveway to me is a sign that your angels have minimized a greater damage. Like, they are with you. You are being protected. Yeah, you just fell off the curb. You could have totally smashed the phone to pieces. You could have broken your arm. You could have twisted your ankle so that you can't walk on it. And then what would it have been like? So in that moment, I was trying to like turn myself around. I was like, this is a flat tire in the driveway moment. This is, you know, thank you guides for keeping it from being worse than it could be. I still have everything I need to work with. And so I was able to kind of shake it off. And I also use my friend Seth's mantra, it always turns out wonderful anyway, which is another version of everything is always working out for me. But his is a little bit better for like trips where you're somewhere and you're trying to make things happen and you have plans and you have an itinerary and you want it to be fabulous and you don't want to overthink it, but you want to see all the stuff. And you know what? It always turns out wonderful anyway. You just kind of have to be a little fluid. And so I really think I was able to put myself in the right mindset really quickly. This is not something I would have been able to do as a child or even in my 20s and 30s. I would have really sulked and it would have kind of ruined my trip. So because of that, you know, I had a conversation with Jake about all that, and we were sort of walking back and we were still taking these cool pictures, and we kind of picked up where we left off. And he's a very positive person, and he was able to kind of, you know, he was like, I'm going to laugh about this later when I tell people the story. But in the moment he was kind of sweet and just sort of tried to like, let's just continue. It'll be okay. You know, he jumped in to help me carry along. And, we were just sort of from that moment on letting the day carry us, you know, and it was working. And I just kind of had to continue to embrace this concept of being a passenger, being carried wherever I was meant to go, and not having to know how to get there, but just sort of letting other people make their part of it happen, surrendering a lot, right? You know, just letting the river carry you. And it was a really powerful spell, because very quickly we went back to the house and there was a woman who was a new friend to us from San Francisco. Her and her husband, Ethan and Annabelle, were staying in the quiet house with us, and we'd never met them before. But Annabelle seemed really cool, and I had sat next to me at dinner the night before, and she was also a Leo, but she was like the most listening Leo that I've ever met. She was a really active listener and not a look at me Leo. So I'm a listen to me Leo, but I'm not a look at me Leo. So she and I had already kind of clicked a little bit and spent some time together the night before. And she needed to go thrift store shopping to find some stuff for her husband to wear to the birthday party, which had a dress code and a theme. We were all supposed to wear black and white formal wear, vintage, goth, but just black and white, like prom clothes, you know, however you wanted to take that. And Jake and I decided that we would just go with her. Rob had to do a conference call for work, and there were other things happening with the larger group of people in one of the mansions. And we didn't really want to like try to hook up with that. It was just the three of us, and we said, yeah, you know what, let's just go thrift store shopping and get lunch and just see what happens, and we'll go help you pick some stuff out and can try things on for you if you need it, whatever. And so the three of us, we kind of brought her on board as the power of three and continuing the spell of sort of synchronicities and just letting things happen, not having an itinerary. And Annabelle just Googled vintage thrift stores or whatever. And we just picked one off the map and said, that sounds cool. Let's go there. It ended up being an incredible thrift store. It was called Yep. If you're in New Orleans, YEP, I think it stands for Youth Empowerment Project. They had a bike shop next door to the thrift store. And as far as I understand it, the charity helps teenage kids learn how to like work in shops and get skill, like working skills. You know, their employees are people who've been in their program and have learned to run the register and merchandise clothes and, you know, customer service skills and all that kind of stuff. So it is a nonprofit in New Orleans. The thrift store was amazing. The prices were incredible. It wasn't one of those places that's overly curated, like super vintage, high dollar. But it also wasn't a junk pile. It was really perfectly executed. And I thought, you know what? Thrift stores are such a hit or miss. To be able to go to a city we've never been before, spin the globe and stick our finger down and find this one was another, you know, gift of synchronicity. We were really being carried along. And so that happened all day long, and we were really aware of it, and we were talking about it and having fun with it, and you know, really philosophically enjoying having that kind of experience. And I couldn't imagine in that moment having done it with any other group of people. It was like just kind of a perfect little group of us having our own sort of adventures away from the larger party. And one thing happened that was another really cool synchronicity. I talked earlier about how I had known Kiki's wife, Rhea. And Rhea was a restaurateur. She famously has, it's still there, a restaurant called Rhea's Bluebird Cafe, or Rhea's Bluebird, I think is the name of her restaurant, the one that's near Oakland Cemetery on Memorial in Atlanta. It's definitely a place you want to go for breakfast or brunch, you know, on a Saturday morning. So check that out if you're in Atlanta. But so after leaving the thrift store, we were like, ravenously hungry, and we saw a sign that had something to do with food and drinks, and we were like, oh, what's this? It's right here. And it turned out that it was a food and drink museum. It wasn't really a restaurant, though they did have a working restaurant. It wasn't quite what we were looking for to eat lunch, but it was this amazing space with all these exhibits. And the woman who greets you at the front door was kind of telling us the history and intention behind this space and this museum and what we could expect there. It was the kind of place we'd want to come back to, you know, when we weren't on a little shopping mission. And but the whole time she's talking to us, behind her, hanging, you know, they had all these cool like old restaurant signs and stuff. There was a Bluebird Cafe sign with a very similar logo. And I'm sure Bluebird Cafes all over the world have a similar kind of logo. But it felt to me, you know, and to Jake and Annabelle, like it was kind of Rhea's way of saying that she was with us. And I purposefully did not tell Kiki that day because it was her birthday. I didn't know how thinking about Rhea overtly or a sign from her might be received. It's one of those things that I'll tell her about later. We took a picture, and I think that she might be able to more appreciate that moment at another time when it wasn't her birthday and she was surrounded by 50 people that she was, you know, leading the parade. The party itself was really unreal. I don't think I could get 50 people here locally in Chattanooga to show up at a drink, you know, and have a drink at a pub for my birthday. I've done that kind of thing before and maybe gotten 15, 20 people max. So the fact that 50 people would travel from all over to converge on New Orleans for a couple days, and specifically on her actual birthday, you know, on a Friday. The travel on that scale was enormous. I mean, I know that most people can't even go to destination weddings, let alone a destination birthday. So it was really cool. The toasts and the roasts that people did for her at the party were really pretty amazing. I know that she had the experience that she wanted to have, and she really felt truly loved, and it was a blowout bang success. So as far as psychic adventures for me, there was this theme of Saturn return rescues, is what I'm calling them. I seem to keep encountering Uber drivers and shopkeepers and people in bars who were 29 and just going into Saturn returns and having various kinds of meltdowns in front of me, you know, in a couple of cases. For instance, there was one shop that we went in when we were on our thrifting experience, and Jake and Annabelle were trying on some sunglasses, and I was buying a small item that I had picked up, you know, oh, this is a cool little thing, I'm going to get it. And so I was standing waiting for the woman behind the desk in the register to get off the phone and, you know, ring me up, or maybe ring me up while she was on the phone. You know, it wouldn't have really offended me that much. But it was really apparent that she was in distress and that the person on the other end of the phone was abusing her. And My first thought was like it was some terrible irate customer, or maybe a like a romantic situation. Like the vibe she was giving off was that I just stepped into the moment when she's, you know, been in a text war with a boyfriend or something. You know, something really big was going on with her. And she looked like a million bucks, though. She was dressed like so classy and chic, and almost to the point where she didn't seem like she belonged there. And so I didn't know what was going on, but she hung up quickly, you know, to wait on me. So it was just like, you know, getting off the phone. But she was unable to contain, you know, what was happening to her. And she, and I don't know if you've ever done this. I've done this before where, you know, somebody's waiting on me. They're like, how you doing? You know, or whatever. And I'm just like, you know what, just to be totally honest, like, I'm having a meltdown right now and I need to get off my chest. And sometimes you just want to say that in the moment rather than trying to repress it. And I'm okay with that, you know, if someone does it in the right way. And she kind of indicated to me that she wanted to confess and confide in me what was going on, partly because she felt rude for me witnessing part of it and felt like I had this huge question mark over my head and almost like, okay, I need to tell you what's going on so you just understand why I'm being such a terrible, unprofessional shop person in this moment. And I was like, you know, I don't mind if you need to vent about it. I don't feel upset by this interaction at all. And so she really opened up and just, you know, started to tell me what was going on. She had worked for this shop for 3 years, and she had asked them for a raise and they had just flatly said no. And she went to an interview and got another position at a better place, a more high-end upscale place, and it paid her a lot more. And they hired her on the spot. And she had just come back from her lunch hour interview getting this job and called the owner of the store we were in to put in a notice and to give her 2 weeks notice and let her know that she would be leaving, all the things that you're supposed to do. You know, she did right. And the tail end of what I caught was the owner screaming at her and, you know, as if she was just the worst employee in the whole world. And, you know, I looked at her and I said, this may actually be kind of perfect that you're telling all this to me. I said, first of all, I used to be a career counselor. And I'm also a very intuitive person, and I'm getting a lot of hits off what's happening with you right now. And I feel like I need to share that with you. And she was like, yeah, I mean, like, what are you observing? And I said, well, first of all, you look like you own this store. You look like you own another store. You look like a shop owner. You don't look like somebody who's just working in a store. And she said, well, I'm dressed up because I'm going to this other place, you know, and they hired me on the spot. And I said, of course they hired you on the spot because you are moving on. And when something happens that quickly for you, when opportunities present themselves, you know, if the universe did not, if it was the wrong choice, the universe would be throwing up some roadblocks. You'd go to that interview, it'd be a dud, you know. But the fact that she so quickly, you know, gathered up her self-worth and said, fine, I'm going to go somewhere else, and did, and then was so quickly acknowledged and rewarded for, you know, who she was and what she looked like and the energy she gave off. I said, you know, the universe is giving you a huge yes. You're moving on, and it's really not your problem if these people can't accept a really professional, civil 2 week notice from someone that they've refused to, you know, promote or give a raise to, who's worked for them for a really long period of time. And, you know, quite frankly, it's just not your problem anymore. You're moving on. And, I said, how old are you? And she told me, and I said, okay. I told her a little bit about the Saturn return, you know, so that she could go and Google it. But I told her that, you know, intuitively, I just felt like, I saw her owning a store. I said, I feel like you want to own your own place, right? And she said, oh God, yeah, absolutely. And I said, well, this is all just you gathering skills right now. And you probably actually have a few years. You know, one of the things that's true for people in their late 20s and the reason why they need to be rescued is they always feel like the clock is running out and that 30 is like the end of the road and they've got to be on that bus or they're left behind. And that's really not how it goes down at all. And so I was giving her a more realistic time frame about what was happening and how it would play out and, you know, set that goalpost back a few years and take the pressure off. Towards the end of the conversation, she said, what do you do exactly right now? And I said, I'm a professional psychic. And her face just lit up and she said, oh my God, before you leave this building, I just have to tell you that you took one of the worst moments in my life and you just totally made me feel like $1 million bucks. Like you completely reversed me. And I said, my work is done here. That's amazing. So I had a similar experience with an Uber driver who was a Saturn return rescue. I had another experience all that same day. Had another experience that night at the party for Kiki with a rugby player whose husband had committed suicide a few years ago. And he had decided just all of a sudden to move to New Orleans and kind of start over. And he said that he felt, you know, really good about the decision originally, but he was starting to kind of wake up to what he had done and question, you know, what was going on around him. And so again, we had a Saturn return conversation and a lot of coaching around what was going on with him too. And the thing is that I remember telling them all something really similar, which is that nobody's a pro. We're all just kind of faking it until we make it. And if we look like we're crushing it, it's probably just something we've done so many times, it becomes like muscle memory, or we've just done it so many times, it's not intimidating and new to us anymore. And that's what being a pro is. But everything else, the fear of, am I going in the right direction? Am I making the right decision? Is this the right next step for me? We all feel that way. Even the people who appear to be doing what it is that they want to do and love what they do, we still feel that way. In the past, especially on vacation, I would have made myself as small and invisible as possible. Now, second only to weather magic is my ability to work an invisibility spell. And I will wallflower myself, and especially when I'm somewhere where I don't want to attract attention from strangers. I don't want to give readings to people. I don't want to engage with them in my work life kind of way. You know, I fold that up and make it as small as possible and hope nobody notices. So I'm not sure what made me so open this time. Maybe it's because I just recently started doing my phone readings this way. And so it is something that I haven't done as many times, which is, I don't do prep around my readings anymore. You purchase a reading to speak to me on the phone. You're sent the schedule. You schedule the call. I jump on the call with you. Okay, why are we here? You know, and just go. And I go in cold and, you know, not knowing what's going on or whatever. And it took me a long time to get to that comfort level, but it's still a new way of doing it, you know, kind of tightrope walking, high wire kind of version. And I don't know, like maybe that this was part of that intention was the chance to sort of do this. And I don't usually do readings live either. So that was another 50 new things before 50 was how many live in-person 5-minute readings I did with strangers. But the one thing I most wanted to share with you guys was how much I felt like I was a stranger angel for these people. Like I was really aware that I was being that person that they might question. Like I'm not literally a stranger angel because I actually believe they're not human beings. I am a human being, but I might appear to have been something like a stranger angel. And maybe some stranger angels are people who are put in our path to channel a message for us at a certain moment. And I was really aware that I was in these particular moments and nobody else was going to deliver what these people needed to hear. And it was my job. I had just been deputized by the universe. And I was so consciously aware of those stories that we tell other people and the fact that, you know, long after this trip is over, I feel like the shopkeeper especially, she's going to be telling people, this guy came out of nowhere, the exact moment, you know, and told me what was going to happen to me over the next 5 years. And that's exactly how it played out. And it was a real, you know, kind of life-changing moment. I really feel like I'm going to be a story in her world. You never feel 100% capable of just doing that. You know, if you're an intuitive, you do not go into it thinking that every single reading you're going to do that. Or being brilliant, you know, without some crumb of an ego and a crumb of doubt somewhere. Listen, I have done it thousands of times, and that's the only thing that lets me even try or be somewhat comfortable with letting myself be carried. Just say, I'm a passenger. I'm a supporting role in this person's life, and my job is to deliver this message, and I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to worry it and take it apart. It just comes from having done it thousands of times, and those thousands of times are thousands of times of doing it from the beginning. Like, you always feel a little bit like, oh, well, here I go again. Is this going to be the time that I mess it up? You know, there's always a little tiny voice in the back of your head that thinks, what if I can't do it this time? But statistically, it gets less and less likely the more that you have those little successes. So that's the only thing that makes me a pro. And I think maybe this is true of all professions. Oh, P.S. I just looked at my notes that I was trying to work from. I try to do shows like this from just like a list of, you know, like 20 lines of stuff to remember to talk about. And I forgot one of the really big personal takeaways for me. And so in case either of them were to listen to this show, I would not want it to go unacknowledged that the biggest experience for me on this trip was, we talked about earlier about how Jake is the partner of one of my oldest friends, but he's a new friend to me. And I always feel a little bit like over the past year that I've known him, I am like a relative who comes to stay with them. I'm an in-law, so to speak. And this trip and hanging out so much with him specifically allowed us to create a lot of our own memories. And the last night we were there, we went just the two of us to this bar that we had photographed a couple times while it was closed during the day. And we went back at night to make sure that we got to see the inside of it. And it ended up being a really, really cool experience. And it was just the two of us, and we had a couple of drinks, and we really talked in a way that we never had before. And I felt like now he understands why Rob is friends with me, and that he is friends with me in his own right. And that was a really big, cool thing to have, is to, you know, you want your friends to like your significant other and vice versa. And so this was a moment where I really got to establish that relationship with him on our own terms. And that's really cool. We have our own memories to gab about now. So the other one was Annabelle, the third member of our triquetra, power of three, day of synchronicities. The one thing I wanted to say about her is there's always one person that I go on these big trips and I converge with all these people. You know, I go to a conference or a workshop or something like that. There's always this one person who is really a soulmate, a spirit family member that I cannot imagine having not met. And for me, that was her. And I feel like a real sense of grief and loss that she's not in my everyday life and doesn't live somewhere nearby where I can hang out with her like I did. But if it turns out to be anything like those other relationships, those are some of the coolest friendships that I have in the world. And there's a few of them listening right now, and you know who you are. And we travel to be together, and it doesn't even matter that we aren't everyday friends. We have some of the strongest connections in the world. So bless you, social media, and thank you, podcast, for letting everybody keep up with my personal life. I hope that this has still been interesting to everyone who wasn't involved and that you found something of yourself to take away from my little personal adventure. I'm out. Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or whatever app you prefer. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message, an answer to a question or concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds and pull a card right now. And I pulled the Death card. It's a picture of Arya Stark. So to answer your question, the card means symbolic death rather than physical death and heralds significant change, moving house, new career, demise of a relationship, or other ways of living. This ending often happens quickly and is a necessary clearing of the way. An additional meaning is seeing the truth. And I'll talk to you later.